This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hello, you're listening to Glenn Pugh for AvWeb.com. The FAA released, right before Memorial Day weekend, a sweeping new requirement for aircraft operators. And if you're an aircraft owner, it's likely the new rules will cost you some money. We're speaking, of course, about ADS-B technology. The FAA believes it will help usher in new levels of safety and efficiency, especially for the airlines. But what's the cost-benefit balance look like for you? Today, we're speaking with Heidi Williams, Senior Director of Airspace and Modernization for the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association Government Affairs, to find out how the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association thinks the new rule and regulations will affect their members. Heidi, thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon, Glenn. Nice to speak with you.
Now, let's start with a quick overview of the technology. The new rule and dates for compliance, generally, what is ADS-B out? Generally, what does the rule say about who needs the equipment, and when do we have to comply?
Well, based on our read through the FAA's final rule, which was issued last week, it appears that all aircraft that are operating in Class Alpha, Bravo, or Charlie airspace, or what we know today as transponder required airspace, all aircraft operating in that airspace will be required to equip by January 1st of 2020 with ADS-B out avionics, essentially adding a piece of equipment to the aircraft that transmits their position via GPS and ground-based infrastructure.
Now, it looked to me like the FAA says it lists the airports, the major airports that you'd need to have this equipment to fly near, sort of like a Mode C transponder requirement. But I haven't seen that list yet. Have you? Do you have any ideas on what it might be?
No, we haven't seen a list, but I think in talking with the FAA and industry, what it really equates to is anywhere that you're required to operate with a Mode C transponder today, you'll be required to operate with the ADS-B out avionics in 2020.
And what about Mode C? Pilots seeking access to what we assume will be, you know, the normally popular airports, will they need both sets of technology? They'll need the transponder Mode C and the ADS-B to fly there?
In fact, they will, Glenn. Based on what the rule has delivered, we will continue to be required to carry our Mode C transponder in addition to having to equip with the ADS-B out avionics.
Now, does AOPA have any expectations in the way of costs and weight, panel space? How much are we looking at here to comply with this?
Well, good question. And all things that I think we're going to be looking at in the coming years. I mean, the only cost estimates that we really know to date are based on the ADS-B out legacy equipment. So prior to the rule or the TSO being issued, the ADS-B avionics for out ran approximately $8,000 to $10,000 per aircraft. And again, that's just for the out or transmitting the signal. That wasn't actually receiving any ADS-B in capability. So we're hoping certainly over the transition period in the next 7 to 10 years that we'll see that cost point be driven down significantly.
How do you think that cost might translate into the pilot population? I guess what I'm saying is anytime new regulations come up, anytime new costs are introduced, people become afraid that it might drive people out of aviation. Do you think this will have that effect?
Well, I think the one thing that we have maintained through our discussions with the FAA and our comments to this rule are that you have to ensure that this is a benefits-driven equipage. So while we have a mandate, which we obviously would have been happier with a benefits-driven equipage versus a mandate, but you have to provide the benefits. And I think we're all going to have to work with the FAA over the next 7 to 10 years during that transition period to ensure that there are benefits that drive the equipage and that also we see the cost point come down. I think that's the only way that the GA population is going to be able to comply with the mandate as has been written.
Well, let's keep it real simple. What are the basic benefits we're looking at today for the general aviation community that has ADS-B out equipage in their aircraft?
I think that's a really good question, Glenn, and I'm not sure that we actually have the answer. I think that's the question that we in the general aviation community are asking of the FAA. I mean, today with our transponder, we can access Class Alpha, Bravo, Charlie airspace And the only thing that the ADS-B out avionics will do is continue to allow us to access that same airspace in 2020. So we aren't really getting any additional access, yet we're having to add additional avionics to our cockpit.
Now, that would be different for ADS-B in, but that's not part of this rule, right?
That's correct. We certainly see some benefits and some safety benefits with the ADS-B in technology. That, however, is not addressed in this rulemaking, and I'm not sure that we actually know how that's going to be addressed in the future.
Now, as this is a final rule, does that mean AOPA's efforts are finished here? What can pilots expect from AOPA to help them through this and with compliance going forward?
I think it's really just the start or beginning of a process in working with the other industry associations and working with the FAA to ensure during this transition period that there are benefits that are acknowledged and are available to pilots with this mandate. So I think we're really at the beginning of this process in deriving those benefits and capabilities that certainly have to go along with the mandate.
Now, as far as the technology itself goes, I think most pilots are very happy with the increased accuracy presented by satellite navigation and would be happy to see that applied to traffic coordination as well. But what about any reliability issues? Are there any potential weaknesses that that we should have concerns about in the technology itself that haven't been maybe sufficiently addressed?
I think one of the big concerns moving forward, and something that was identified through RTCA's Task Force 5 process, was GPS constellation questions. And I think we've seen some of those questions arise in the recent WASS geosatellite outage. So certainly some constellation issues that I think the agencies are going to have to work out as we move forward into this next gen arena.
Well, and speaking of next gen, do you have any insights that you could share with us and what's coming down the pipeline next?
There are a lot of next gen capabilities that are on the horizon. I think there's a greater need than ever for collaboration with the industry and FAA, that no matter what the capabilities are as we transition into this era of next gen, that we do it right and that we ensure that it's a benefits-driven environment, so that as we get to this next phase, users will want to equip moving forward.
Heidi Williams, Senior Director of Airspace and Modernization for AOPA Government Affairs, thank you for your insights and your time. I know you're busy today.
Thank you, Glenn. It's nice to speak with you today.
This has been Glenn Pugh for avweb.com. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. For more on aviation safety, log on to www.aviationsafetymagazine.com.